The warring sides in the Ivory Coast may sign a truce today. Reports say ceasefire attempts failed yesterday. Last month, the rebels began splitting the West African nation in two after a coup. Hundreds of people have died in the fighting. The rebels control the northern half of the country. NPR's Jason Bobian reports from the rebel-held city of Bouake.
In the first days of the uprising, the rebels showed that they were well-organized, well-armed, and in parts of the country, extremely popular. The conflict began when the mutineers attempted to seize control of military garrisons in the Ivory Coast's main city, Abidjan. Government loyalists put down the rebellion there, but within days, the disaffected soldiers controlled most of the north of the country. They set up an unofficial capital in the nation's second-largest city, Bouake. They call themselves the Patriotic Movement of the Ivory Coast. Their leaders drive a collection of commandeered sport utility vehicles with reggae music blaring from the stereo. And they say they're fighting to overthrow an oppressive and illegitimate government.
Nous sommes les combattants de la liberté, de la justice, et nous voulons l'instauration de la démocratie en Côte d'Ivoire.
Sitting in the burned-out remains of Bouake's police compound, one of the main rebel leaders, Sherif Ousmane, says his men are fighting for liberty, justice, and true democracy in the Ivory Coast. They say President Laurent Gbagbo, who's from the politically dominant Bété ethnic group in the south, rigged the last election by disqualifying a popular northern politician from the contest. The Ivory Coast is home to millions of West African immigrants who work in the nation's cocoa, sugarcane, and other fields. Sherif Ousmane accuses Gbagbo of inflaming ethnic tensions in this racially diverse country and discriminating against immigrants.
Nous sommes obligés de prendre le pouvoir pour pouvoir régler le problème des Ivoiriens.
We were obliged to take power by force, Ousmane says. We don't want the power for the sake of it, but for the Ivorian people. We will organize new elections, and then we will go away. In 1999, General Robert Gay said almost the same thing when he seized power in Abidjan in a bloody coup. Once Gay installed himself as president, he no longer talked about going away. He lost power in 2000 in an election won by Gbagbo. General Gay was killed in Abidjan in the first days of this current uprising. The rebels say they have a vision for a better Côte d'Ivoire, but over the last 4 weeks, their uprising has decimated Bouake. Parts of the city look like a ghost town. All the banks and most of the shops are closed. There's no longer a police force. The rebels freed everyone from the prison. Anyone accused of a new crime is executed immediately in the street. The bodies serve as a reminder to the increasingly desperate population not to steal in the market. With no work, no money, and little food, an estimated 150,000 people, or a third of Bouake's population, have fled since the uprising began. But the rebels, in their army fatigues and rifles at the ready, are unfazed by the humanitarian crisis unfolding around them. The commander of the checkpoint at the northern edge of town, Soro Draman, says their focus is on fighting. We are waiting for their attack at any time. Minute by minute, my men are ready. You can see that at any moment we can defend Bouake. We've learned many ways to fight. Supporters of President Gbagbo in the south view the rebels as criminals who are destroying the country. And to the Ivory Coast neighbors, the rebels pose a difficult problem. On the one hand, some West African diplomats are sympathetic to the rebels' complaint that the country's political elite is xenophobic. But the last thing they want to do is encourage others in the region who feel mistreated to launch armed rebellions like this one. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Bouake, Ivory Coast.